Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy one, your words freed me. Your word feeds me, and your spirit gives us life. We ask that you grant our ears an appetite for hearing and our hearts a full serving of compassion and our spirits joy for your love given and received. Amen. Preparing for this sermon, I was reminded of a young man who was a classmate of mine in college, and I will not tell you how many years ago that was. We had some classes together. He wasn't particularly tall, but he was very muscular and very strong. And we had 6 8 o'clock classes together every week, Monday through Saturday. And I began to notice very soon that pretty much as soon as our 8 o'clock class was over, at 9, he would head over towards the gym. And I would see him about an hour and a half or so later, walking across campus, head wet from a shower, carrying his gym clothes in a bag. And occasionally we would have lunch together, and one day I happened to mention to him that I really, really was impressed by his dedication to his daily workouts. And he went on to explain that in junior high and early high school, he had played football and had been very active in lots of different sports. But at age 16, he had had a heart attack. Very unusual for someone so young. And the doctors had told him not to slow down, but to stop. He was to stop playing football. He was to stop running. He was to stop doing exercises of any kind, because any time he tried to do something like that, his heart just might give out completely. Well, he was very distressed at that, and he found himself crying out to God one night, he told me. I was shaking my fist at God, he said, and I was asking him, what in the world did I do that he had taken away from me my health and my joy, because my activity and my strength really has been a joy for me. And as he shook his fist at God that night, he said he bottomed out. He just cratered. He gave up. And he cried out in anguish, why have you done this? And he said he heard a voice say to him, it doesn't have to be that way. Well, in the morning, he called his brother, who happened to be a minister, and he said, do you think that was the voice of God talking to me? And his brother said, I'm sure of it, because that is the message of God. That is his message to all of us, that it doesn't have to be that way. He can break whatever shackles bind us. He can heal whatever wounds have hurt us. He can turn our lives around. I'm sure that was his message to you. The next morning, very slowly and very carefully, he told me he began once again to exercise. Nothing strenuous, but just a little bit. And every day since, he had done a little bit more, until he was probably the strongest young man on campus. Could and did do just about anything he wanted to do. Now, the chapel on our campus wasn't built until our junior year, but once it was there on an island in the middle of a lake, you could find him sitting in that chapel every day. He would just sit there, and he said it gave him such peace, knowing that he was in the presence of God, and that he had so much for which to be grateful to God, for saying to him, it doesn't have to be that way. The story that we have just read is another story about how it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus and the disciples had just had that harrowing journey across the Sea of Galilee and were so glad to reach the opposite side, which was a Gentile side of the lake, we know from geography. And they were so pleased to reach land that they heaved a big sigh of relief to have made it safely across. But something else happened. Suddenly they see this madman charging at them. First they hear this screeching and this yelling coming from the tombs, not coming from the town or a house, but coming from the tombs. And then they see this man rushing out at them, and he's all tattered and his clothes are all torn, and he has blood dripping out, and he's scratching himself and screaming at them, and it's just horrible. And they almost wish they were back on that lake, because the storm they had found there was not nearly as bad as the storm they were confronted by with this man. The storm that they had met, they did not understand it. And I can't you just kind of picture all of those disciples sort of cozying over and standing behind Jesus? Let this man encounter him first, not us. But thank the Lord, Jesus is and was and still is Jesus. He stood there and he talked to the man. And he seemed to kind of calm him down. He was not afraid. He stood there and quietly spoke. And he seemed, as he talked, to cleanse the man. And he broke the chains that bound him, literally and figuratively. He brought this man peace. And as he did for that Gentile there by the lake, he does that for us to this day. Now, I want to underscore this story by lifting up 3 points. First of all, you do not have to be at war with yourself. This man certainly was. He scratched himself. He pulled at his own clothes. He pulled at his hair. He was fighting with himself because he had all these legions within him, these demons that had taken over possession of him. I think I may have told you this story before, but it's worth repeating, particularly on Father's Day. There was a man in a grocery store with his young son sitting in the cart. And whenever the cart got close enough to a shelf, the young son would just reach over and swipe everything off the shelf onto the floor. And one time when the father had stopped to read the label, the three-year-old climbed out of the cart and goes running down the aisle again, going from side to side, sweeping things off of the shelves onto the floor. And as the man picked him up and put him back in the cart very gently, people around him kept hearing him say, "Just be patient, Tommy. It won't last much longer, Tommy. Tommy, it'll be okay. We'll be out in the parking lot before too much longer. Just a little bit longer, Tommy, and we'll be going home soon. Hang in there, Tommy." And as he got in line to check out, a woman pulled her cart in right behind him. She tapped him on the shoulder and she said, "I just want you to know, my journey through this store has taken me same aisles that you have been in, and I've heard you talking, and I just want you to know how impressed I am with how much patience you have with little Tommy here. Oh, but lady, the man said, you don't understand. His name is Michael, I'm Tommy. The man knew where best to start. Start with yourself, as he was trying to make sure he kept his cool. We note in our scripture today that we don't have to be at war with ourselves. Tommy was right to start with himself, just as we are right to start with ourselves. When we feel good about ourselves, we can't help but feel good about the people that we encounter and meet. When we're grumbling at ourselves, we want to just grumble and grouch at the people around us. Hopefully those days aren't very often. When we are pleased with ourselves, content, at peace with ourselves, we can be at peace with others. You don't have to be at war with yourself. We are all important to God. And if you ever doubt that, let me tell you another story, very brief. There was a man who was brought into a hospital one time. He was all bruised and obviously had been beaten up and mugged. And he had dirty clothes on, which were torn, and he hadn't seemed to have had a bath in a long time. And one of the young interns comes up and looks at him and says, now tell me, what in the world are we going to do with this wretch? And the man's eyes just come open a little bit. And he opens his mouth and he says in a very strong voice, do not call worthless wretch one who has been saved by Christ. Do not call a worthless wretch one who has been saved by Christ. My friends, Christ has died for you. We are not worthless wretches. Christ has died for us to set us free from whatever binds us and enchains us. Second thing, you don't have to be at war with other people. In Luke 8, Legion, this madman, was very much at war with everyone around him. He had been exiled from the community. He lived in the tombs with the dead. When he would come out, people would run from him, and he would chase them around, probably. It's amazing how upset we can get at times with other people, how we can feel so hostile sometimes. When will we ever learn? When will we learn to befriend one another, to respect one another, to love one another? A city newspaper had an article about a young man from a wealthy family. Actually, I read this in Dear Abby years and years ago. And this young man lived in a very affluent neighborhood. And the practice there was when any of the young people graduated, the parents would give them a new car. So Bill and his dad had been out for several weeks off and on. And the week before his graduation, they had found the perfect car that Bill wanted and his father wanted to give him. So they get home from graduation, and his dad hands him a package. And his eyes get big, and he tears it open. And there inside No car keys, but a brand new leather-bound Bible. And he's exceptionally upset. No car keys. So he picks up the Bible and he slams it down and turns around and walks out of the house. And for years after that, he never spoke to his parents. He never even read letters that they sent to him. If they ever tried to call, he wouldn't even speak to them. He would hang up. And then his father died. And he went back home and sat at his father's desk in his office and started going through drawers and papers to see what kind of an inheritance he had. And he opens up a drawer and picks up a box and sets it down and opens it up, and it's that Bible. And for the first time, he looks at it and he lifts it out of the box, and something falls out. Right in the very front of the Bible fell out a check dated the day of his graduation, made out to him in the exact amount of the car that they had picked out together. All of those years he had spent turning his back on his father, and thus his mother as well, because they had not given him car keys. He never knew what they had given to him. He had been furious that there were not car keys there. Isn't that tragic? Isn't that sad? To be so upset at someone when the reality is he just did not understand. We don't have to be at war with ourselves. We don't have to be at war with others. And we do not have to be at war with God. This story tells us that. Another Father's Day story. Carl Michelson was a brilliant Methodist theologian who died very young. And he told a story about one morning he and his young son were out playing in the front yard and kind of tussling around and rolling on the grass. And inadvertently, his elbow jammed into his son's face. And his son's eyes got big and he pulled back. And his father looked at him and started to say, "I didn't mean it, I didn't mean it." And the son looked at him. And instead of crying, he burst out laughing because he did not see anger or hatred in his father's eyes. What he saw was confusion, and he saw the love that his father felt for him, and how sorry his father was that this accident had happened. So he laughed. And when Michelson told this story to his congregation, he said, "That is the way. That is the way it is with God. Jesus lets us see into the eyes of God. Just like my son looked into my eyes. And he did not see anger. He did not see violence. He did not see hatred. He saw love. He saw compassion." And that's what Jesus does for us. He lets us see the eyes of God. Jesus lets us see the love, the compassion, the concern that God has for each and every one of us. So you don't need to be at war with yourself or with anybody else or even with God. All of that is gone because we have Jesus and see in his eyes the eyes of God. God looks at you with eternal love. Love so great that his only son gave up his own life, that you might be free and that you might find the peace that passes all understanding. So, as Jesus said to the man freed from the demons, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.